Bible, turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And as we journey together through Lent, we're going to carry on our series looking at the seven signs of Jesus. And as we did, if you were here last week, as we did last week, we're just going to look at this passage very briefly because we want to make some space for us to practice some of the things that we see going on here. We want to leave plenty of time for us to minister to one another and to see what the Spirit of God wants to do in our midst. But before we go any further, let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the scriptures, we thank you for your word, we thank you that they are our plumb line, our yardstick. We thank you for your presence here with us. We ask that you would lead us and guide us. You pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that each one of us would encounter you in a fresh and living way. Amen. This is John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. In these lay many ill, blind, lame, and paralyzed people, waiting for the stirring of the water. One man was there who'd been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The ill man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. So here's Jesus. This time he's back in Jerusalem. Last time we saw him, he was back in Cana. This time he's back in Jerusalem. And now he's performing miracles of healing. It's just yet another sign pointing to who he is. Another tangible, another physical demonstration that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, come to restore and renew and redeem the whole of creation. Now, no miracle of Jesus is reported more in the Gospels than that of healing. Jesus heals adults and children. He heals chronic conditions, acute illnesses. He heals crowds. Jesus heals individuals. He heals people who are full of faith. He heals people who have absolutely no faith. He heals the deserving, the undeserving, the grateful, the ungrateful. Jesus heals the blind, the deaf, all those with every kind of sickness. And the reality is, it's impossible to think about who Jesus is without thinking about healing. Now, John tells us that Jesus is by the pool of Bethesda, which is, as you can tell from reading it, a place where the sick and the dying, basically anyone who was ill, would gather waiting and hoping to be healed. And apparently the water would stir, it would get stirred by an angel. This is verse 4, which sort of is missing in most texts, if you look closely, but it gets stirred by an angel, and then everyone would rush in, and whoever was first in would get healed, is kind of how it worked. But our poor chap can't walk, so he finds that obviously very difficult. First thing that we see is that Jesus sees this man. Jesus sees this man and he does something for him. John describes a man who for some 38 years has not been able to walk. Now, someone must have brought him down to the pools in the first place at some point so that he could wait for the waters to move and hopefully be lucky enough to get in time to be healed. But unfortunately, whoever it was that brought him didn't stay around, obviously, because by verse 7 we see that he had nobody to help him into the pool. But what we read in verse 6 tells us everything about Jesus. chapter 5, verse 6, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Mercy and compassion in the Bible is always characterized by really seeing those who are suffering, those who are struggling. Not just glancing, but by actually seeing a person, looking at a person for long enough to not only notice them, but to have our hearts moved in such a way that we actually then do something on their behalf. Taking the time to actually see what's going on around us is a central part of what it means to be able to see the kingdom of God in our midst. It's only when we take time. It's only when we take time to slow down enough and to get away from the constant, incessant distractions of our busy lives that we are able to truly see those around us who are in desperate need of an encounter with the living God. It's only as we take time to ask the Father to show us what he is doing in the lives of those around us that we, like Jesus, will see those who, like our friend here at the Pool of Bethesda, have been suffering for 38 years and who are desperate to be made well. And so here's an invitation to us all this week. Let's take some time to stop and to pause so that we can ask the Holy Spirit what the Father is doing in the lives of those people we meet so that we can speak to them, we can see them, we can notice them, we can be moved, we can speak to them in such a way that we might be able to ask them if they would like prayer and then simply offer to pray. And how does Jesus do it? Have a look at verse 8. Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat and walk." Stand up, take your mat and walk. This is about how complicated a prayer for healing gets. Stand up, take up your mat and walk. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 3, Jesus heals a man with leprosy by touching the man and saying, "Be clean." In Matthew 8, verses 14 to 15, Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law simply by touching her hand. He touched her hand and the fever left her. In Matthew 8, 16, it tells us how Jesus drove out spirits with just one word, and he healed all the sick. Matthew 8, 32, Jesus restores two men commanding the demonic spirits that were afflicting them just by saying one word, "Go." In Matthew 9, verse 6, Jesus heals another man unable to walk, again, just by saying, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." In Mark 5, verse 31, Jesus raises a dead girl to life by saying, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." In Matthew 12, 13, Jesus heals a man with a shriveled hand by saying, "Stretch out your hand." I mean, I could go on. My point is this: Jesus' prayers for healing were very brief, very direct, and very, very straightforward. There aren't these long, convoluted, impressively wordy prayers. They're just really simple, short commands. And as we've been called to minister like Jesus, so our prayers for healing should be just the same. The truth is, in and of ourselves, we have, well, I don't know about you, certainly I have absolutely no ability to heal anyone. So long and wordy prayers, where I kind of psych myself up into a theological kind of religious frenzy, really no use at all. No help whatsoever. What we get to do is pray for the sick. We're commanded to heal the sick. So that's what we should be doing. And when we do that, all we do is command the sickness to go in the name of Jesus. And that's kind of it. The rest is up to God. And sometimes the person that you'll be praying for will be healed, and sometimes they won't. But whether they're healed or not, do you know what? That's way above my pay grade. It's got nothing to do with me in the first place. And this is the most important part. Whether they are healed or not, you can always guarantee that because you prayed for them, they will have had an encounter with the person and the presence of the Spirit of God. And therefore, they will never be the same again. Jesus wants to use any and all of us to heal. You know, John Wimber, who founded this thing called the Vineyard, used to famously say, everyone gets to play. Everyone gets to play. He meant it. Jesus gave away his ministry of healing. He didn't hoard it all to himself. Jesus wasn't like some TV evangelist. He didn't walk around in a shiny suit saying, you have to come to me. Come up to the front. Come onto the stage. I will come and pray for you. And it's only me, that one person, the minister, the religious leader, whoever it is, can pray for you. Jesus gave his healing ministry away. And first of all, you know, we saw this last week. He gave it away to his 12 disciples. He sends them out to heal the sick. And then he gives it to the 72, gives it away to the 72 other followers. And you can read their story in Luke 10. And then finally, Jesus gives it all away to us today. In Matthew 28, Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. And one of the things that Jesus had commanded them was to go out and heal the sick. Heal the sick. So the disciples then taught people to obey everything they had been commanded by Jesus, and that included going out and healing the sick. And that's why we as the church, some 2,000 years later, that's what we've been called to do as well. The authority that was on Jesus to demonstrate the rule and the reign of the kingdom of God through signs of and wonders, in this case through healing, that was passed on to the disciples who did exactly the same things that they saw Jesus do, and that's now being passed on to us as the church that we would do the very same thing. I mean, none of this is really rocket science. And as we said last week, you know, one of the things that's absolutely key here is that all of this stuff, all of these power encounters, these signs and wonders, again, in this case here, healing, you know, they're not really meant just for the church. They're not really meant for us. They're for those who don't yet know Jesus. They're for the last and the least and the lost. They're for our friend here who'd been at the Pool of Bethesda for 38 years. They're for people who we encounter every single day of our lives, who are searching for answers for everything that they're facing. And so what we do here on a Sunday, what we do in our house groups and our small groups, is in fact just practice, if you like, for the main event. It's like a training ground for the main event. And the main event is all out there. It's all out there with our families and our friends and our neighbors. It's at the school gate or it's at the work, wherever it is the Lord has sent us. The very many blessings that we have all received, the mercy of God, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, wonderful as all of it is, it's not to be kept as a secret for us in here. It's not to be kept contained in here. That misses the whole point. Go back to the temple's talk. It's to be poured out and shared and freely given to all those we meet during the week, wherever it is the Lord has sent us. And what we do here is just kind of learn how to do it. That's the theory. We're supposed to be just learning how to do it by practicing on one another and learning how to do it safely and kindly and compassionately and well. That's the point. But that's not our ultimate purpose. The purpose is that we take what we learn in here and take it out and give it all away out there. So this morning we're going to take some time to practice. We've got like half an hour, so much time, it's fantastic. And we're going to like practice on one another, and of course the Lord will bless that because he is kind and merciful and gracious, but the point is so that we are perhaps and hopefully better equipped for wherever it is the Lord sends us this week. So the way we're going to do that is in a moment we're just going to invite the Spirit of God to come. And I'm going to invite any and all of you who would like prayer, especially those of you who are in need of healing. Okay, so while I'm filling the space with my words, you can be racking your brain as like, is there anything wrong with me? Am I okay? Am I feeling well? Have I got a backache? Do I keep getting migraines? I've got a sore leg. I've got, you know, burns on my hand. Or I mean, whatever it is, right? So wrap your brain. So any of you who are in need of healing, but basically any of you who are in need of an encounter with the Spirit of God, right? We just love to pray for anyone who wants to encounter the person of Jesus. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I'm not going to ask you to share anything that you don't feel comfortable sharing, okay? I'm just going to be inviting you to come down to the front so that we can get some people to pray for you. That's it. It may be that you're sick, as I've said. You need God to heal you. It may be that you're going through a really hard time. I have a sense here that there's some people who are grieving some stuff. I don't know whether that's like a bereavement, like a death, or whether it's just there's grief about something. We'd love to minister to you. The Spirit of God wants to come and comfort you in the midst of your grief. But it could be anything. And then what's happened, once I've invited you guys to come down, then I'm going to invite everyone else to come and pray for you. So we should either, the way it works here is you should either be being prayed for, or you should be praying for someone, is kind of how it works. And then what we'll do is just go through things like step by step, and we'll see what the Lord does, is kind of how it's going to work. So, does that sound like a plan? Nod blindly. So if you would like to be prayed for, now is the time to be brave and come forward.